Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Don Pachuri Sentencing Luck Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 17, 2010, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Dillon v. United States. In this case, the court was asked whether 18 U.S.C. Section 3582(c)(2), which authorized courts to reduce a prison sentence in accordance with a retroactive amendment to the United States sentencing guidelines insofar as the new sentence fell within the new guidelines range, also permitted further reduction pursuant to the holding in United States v. Booker, which treated the guidelines as merely advisory. In a 7-1 opinion delivered by Justice Sotomayor, the court held that Section 3582(c)(2) required reductions to coincide with sentencing committee policy, and as the latter precluded reductions inconsistent with the guidelines, the Booker holding was inapplicable. Since Section 3582(c)(2) was enacted to grant prisoners the benefits of retroactive sentencing amendments, other grounds for reducing sentences, such as the petitioner's good behavior, were only relevant insofar as they helped the judge decide whether the prisoner should benefit from the new guidelines, and did not permit further expansion of the sentencing range. To discuss the case, we have Ave Maria School of Law professor Kevin H. Govern. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Govern.
Hello, this is Kevin Govern, Assistant Professor of Law at Ave Maria School of Law in Naples, Florida. On June the 17th of 2010, the Supreme Court handed down a decision in Dillon v. United States. The Dillon decision was a 7-1 decision in which Justice Sotomayor delivered the majority opinion, Justice Stevens filed a dissenting opinion, and Justice Alito took no part. Dillon v. United States held that a court's decision in United States v. Booker does not provide for special consideration of changes in sentencing guidelines during 18 U.S. Code 3582(c)(2) sentence modification hearings. The court had previously ruled in Booker that federal sentencing guidelines are advisory only, although they had never ruled on the application to sentence modification hearings. The Dillon case had great significance. It had the potential to affect perhaps tens of thousands of new sentencing proceedings for those convicted of dealing in crack cocaine, since the U.S. Sentencing Commission had revised downward the range of sentences for those crimes and has made changes retroactive. If judges had no discretion to set a sentence below the minimum in the new range, as they were allowed to do in initial sentencing, many convicted individuals would not have been allowed to take advantage of the reductions, or would at best receive significantly less benefits. Let me provide you a few background facts on the Dillon case. In 1993, the petitioner Dillon was convicted of, amongst other things, crack and powder cocaine offenses. That produced a base offense level of 38, and a guidelines range of 262 to 327 months imprisonment. The district court sentenced him at the bottom range for those counts after the Sentencing Commission amended the guidelines to reduce the base offenses associated with each quantity of crack cocaine under U.S. Sentencing Guidelines Supplement Appendix C, Amendment 706. An amendment was made retroactive under U.S. Sentencing Guidelines Supplement Appendix C, Amendment 713. Dillon moved for a sentence reduction under 18 U.S. Code Section 3582(c)(2). That provision authorized a district court to reduce an otherwise final sentence pursuant to a guidelines amendment if a reduction was consistent with the Commission's policy statements. The relevant policy statement, U.S. Sentencing Guidelines Section 1B1.10, precludes a court from reducing a sentence, quote, to a term that is less than a minimum of the amended guidelines range, close quote, except in limited circumstances. So in addition to the two-level reduction authorized by the amendment, Dillon also sought a variance below the amended guidelines range, contending that the 2005 case of United States v. Booker at 543 U.S. 220 authorized the exercise of such discretion. The district court imposed a sentence at the bottom of the revised range, but declined to grant a further reduction. Finding Booker inapplicable to 3582(c)(2) proceedings, the court concluded that the Commission's directives in Section 1B1.10 constrained it to impose a sentence within guidelines range. The Third Circuit affirmed the lower court's decision. In the Dillon decision, the majority of the court noted that generally a district court may not modify a final judgment that includes a sentence of imprisonment except in the case of a defendant who has been sentenced to a term of imprisonment based on a sentencing range that has been subsequently lowered by the Sentencing Commission and made retroactive. So in so doing, the court quoted 18 U.S. Code 3582C2. In those circumstances, the court said that Congress has authorized courts to reduce the term of imprisonment after considering the factors set forth in 3553A to the extent that they are applicable if such a reduction is consistent with applicable policy statements issued by the sentencing guidelines, again, relying upon 18 U.S. Code 3582C2. The Supreme Court noted that the language of Section 3582 does not authorize a sentencing or resentencing proceeding, but merely provides for the modification of a term of imprisonment by giving courts the power to reduce an otherwise final sentence in circumstances specified by the commission. Thus, a proceeding under 3582 is neither a partial nor a full resentencing. Rather, it is merely a modification of the prior sentence. The Supreme Court also explained that given the limited scope and purpose of 3582C2, it concluded that the proceedings under that section do not implicate the interests identified in Booker. The Constitution does not require that the sentence be modified retroactively. Rather, Section 3582C2 represents a congressional act of lenity intended to give prisoners benefit of later enacted adjustments to the judgments reflected in the guidelines. Therefore, proceedings under 3582C2 did not implicate the Sixth Amendment right to essential facts found by a jury beyond a reasonable doubt. In the Dillon decision, the Supreme Court reviewed 3582C2's two-step inquiry. It explained that Section 3582C2 instructs a district court to consider the factors set forth in 3553A to the extent they're applicable, but it also authorizes a reduction on that basis only if such a reduction is consistent with the applicable policy statements issued by the Sentencing Commission, namely Section 1B1.10. The court further explained that a district court would perform a two-step inquiry. First, determining whether a defendant is eligible for a sentencing modification and the extent of the reduction authorized under Section 3582, and second, considering any applicable 3553A factors and determining whether the reduction authorized in Step 1 is warranted in whole or in part under the particular circumstances of the case. The court's majority decision stated that by its terms, 3582C2 did not authorize a sentencing or resentencing proceeding. Instead, it provided for the modification of a term of imprisonment by giving courts the power to reduce an otherwise final sentence in circumstances specified by the federal sentencing guidelines. Section 3582C2's text, along with a narrow scope, showed that Congress intended to authorize only a limited adjustment to an otherwise final sentence and not a plenary resentencing proceeding. Also worth note was a dissenting opinion in which we find one of Justice Stevens' last pronouncements from the nation's highest court. He wrote, and I quote, that the government conceded that Dillon had undertaken significant institutional rehabilitation and education. The Court of Appeals acknowledged that, quote, if Booker did apply in the proceedings pursuant to 3582, Dillon would likely be an ideal candidate for non-guideline sentencing. Justice Stevens went on to say, given the circumstances of the case, quote, I can scarcely think of a greater waste of this nation's precious resources. Dillon's continued imprisonment is truly a sad example of what I've come to view as an exceptionally and often mindlessly harsh federal punishment scheme. Close quote. Again, those were Justice Stevens' words and not mine, and not the majority decision. So, in closing, the practical significance of this case is that there is discretion to sentences, including in cases involving crack cocaine offenses, but there is no legislative right to resentencing proceedings.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.